Yes, it's a very strong job market, but why are so many feeling so vulnerable? I'm David Brancaccio. The economic picture in the U.S. is complicated. There are positive data showing unemployment super low, below 4%, and the economy grew at the fastest rate in 2021 than in any year since the mid-1980s. But at the same time, inflation is near a 40-year high, and people's confidence in the economy is down in the dumps, with consumer sentiment at a 10-year low, according to new data from the University of Michigan. It's a contradiction, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
What's dragging down consumer sentiment the most right now is inflation. A recent survey by Gallup finds 8 in 10 Americans expect inflation to keep rising in the next 6 months. Half say it's causing them hardship, with 1 in 5 who earn less than $40,000 a year calling it severe. Poll editor Jeff Jones says Gallup's overall economic measure,
the economic confidence index, is not the lowest we've had in the pandemic, but it's pretty close.
And that's in spite of some really good news for consumers: unemployment falling, wages rising, the economy expanding. There are so many cross currents, says University of Chicago consumer psychologist Ayelet Fishbach, taking Americans on a wild ride.
We are on a roller coaster right now. It's the Omicron roller coaster or the inflation roller coaster. We don't really know what will happen tomorrow.
Fishbach says people's current economic situation might be good, but massive uncertainty makes them worried about the future. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
On Mondays, I consult economist Julia Coronado, founder and president of Macro Policy Perspectives.
It is a good job market. Unemployment is low. Demand for labor is very high. And lots of people are switching jobs and getting raises, but most people still aren't. Most people are seeing just kind of average raises. So for a lot of people, the inflation, the higher prices that they're facing is the dominant economic challenge in their lives. And I think that's what we're seeing in the sentiment numbers.
So, I mean, to think about it in human terms, it's nice that your brother-in-law got a new job in this job market. But if you're ticking away in yours with a big raise, little raise, or no raise, you're staring at inflation. And that's very frustrating.
Yes, yes. And inflation on things that you need every day, like food and gasoline and transportation. So these are very front of mind and tend to weigh on people's perceptions of the economy, even though, again, lots of the aggregate numbers we talk about, lots of the economic data we talk about day after day looks fantastic. For a lot of households, it's a challenging situation.
Economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
The U.S. has reportedly made up a list of Russian elites to hit with economic sanctions if Russia invades Ukraine. The Financial Times now says the list targets Russian President Putin's inner circle. The U.S. and allies could cut them off from their money in the West or prevent their children from going to college in the U.S. and Europe.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
The House and Senate are back from recess this week. The Supreme Court nomination is getting focus in the Senate, but as Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports from Washington, lawmakers have much on their economic agenda waiting for them as well.
The big item on Congress's to-do list is to pass a funding bill. The short-term extension passed in December runs out February 18th. It will likely be replaced by yet another continuing resolution, says Laura Blessing at Georgetown's Government Affairs Institute. Additionally, Democrats want to make another attempt at passing at least portions of the Build Back Better agenda.
But it's not just that. There's also a potentially bipartisan bill on China and trade that could include money for semiconductor chips and help with supply chain issues.
The House and the Senate have different versions of that bill, says Weifeng Zhang, a senior researcher at the Mercatus Center.
And members of Congress have not come around to sort of reconcile the differences, but it's at least a proposal that's on the table and they can move, you know, forward relatively quickly.
Of course, quickly, when it comes to Congress, can have a pretty expansive definition. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
A recent study by 10 economists took a deep dive into the Paycheck Protection Program. That was the emergency program to help businesses to not lay off people in earlier pandemic. They found the program was a blunt instrument. Joining us with details is Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell. Morning, Chris.
Good morning, David.
Now, in fairness, this paycheck protection system was started very fast to meet a clear and present crisis.
Yes, it was. Because remember how bad it was during those early months of COVID and small businesses were failing. And what the scholars found, the 10 scholars, is they found that the PPP did save some jobs and it did lower the number of small business closures. But the majority of those loan dollars in 2020 didn't go to prop up employment, David. Most of the money flowed to business owners and shareholders. For example, they note that 3/4 of PPP benefits went to those in the top fifth of household incomes. Now, to be fair, the program was established at warp speed during the pandemic, but the beneficiaries, or at least many of the beneficiaries, weren't the tiny neighborhood business, the corner bodega that many of us thought the program would rescue.
But I want to understand this, Chris. Where did this start to fall apart? Was it the design or did they muff the execution?
Well, it was put together so quickly, David, that it was poorly targeted. And the scholars say, look, there's a defensible trade-off considering how bad the situation was early in the pandemic. But here's the thing, David, they really do like the idea. They think it's a good idea. What they're calling for is an investment in the kind of administrative infrastructure and program design that would do a better job before the next pandemic. Boy, that's a chilling term, isn't it? Or some other large-scale economic emergency. And what I want to highlight here, David, is that this study is yet one more piece of evidence that calls for investing more in government's administrative capacity and productivity. And we knew this well before the pandemic, more than a decade ago. Economist Jeffrey Sachs, he observed that the U.S. is in a crisis of policy implementation.
Yeah, it's not just PPP, right? How about a well-functioning unemployment benefits system? And we were covering that every other day.
I mean, that's just a great example. I mean, remember, Connecticut had a large backlog of claims because its computer system was at least 40 years old. And the IRS is underfunded. And the recent report from the Taxpayer Advocate Service, that's an independent watchdog within the IRS, says the outlook for the upcoming filing season is bleak. I mean, just what we needed. So just as in the private sector, investing in better systems, administrative capacity, this infrastructure, it's critical to improving the experience citizens have with their government.
I mean, what are the prospects we could do that, make it more nimble and efficient and have government infrastructure come off a little more like Google or Oracle or Salesforce?
Your skepticism that's in the tone of your voice is legitimate, but remember back in the early 1990s, there was that movement to reinvent government. And in many respects, the movement notched some significant gains, especially on the local government level. So right now, a major headwind with the U.S. economy is that the federal government and its agencies aren't productive enough. So investing more in administrative infrastructure would make a real difference to citizens.
Chris Farrell is Marketplace's senior economics contributor. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. We're from APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.